I was at the Armageddon Sci-Fi and Fantasy Expo last weekend at the Wayville Showgrounds. Armageddon was quite a shindig. It had booths, it had kiosks, it had stands, and let me tell you, it was a star-studded affair. Why, just myself, I met both the guy who used to run my comic shop plus the guys who run my comic shop now. It was great. But I also got to meet many interesting attendees. I learned that dressing up is a big part of the Armageddon Expo. So first of all, I spoke to the kids at the convention who love to dress up, or cosplayers, as they are known, which I think is a Japanese word. Our hearts go out to the Japanese. I'm down here at the Armageddon Expo with some... Now, this is radio, so you can't see the costumes, but we still want to evoke the costumes and evoke the fun of coming down here. Sir, can you evoke your costume for the listeners at home? Can you tell us about yourself?
Toby's a good boy!
Apparently he is some form of Toby. Oh, I'm being attacked! And hello, sir, can you... This is radio, so can you evoke your costume for the people at home?
My character's Zetsu from Akatsuki. I'm the spy master for the Akatsuki, under Toby.
How's it going?
Hello.
And what franchise is this a part of? It's no relation.
Naruto.
And so, do you fight evil? Do you participate in evil? What's your general stance?
Participate in evil.
Yeah, we're the bad guys, hey.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of evil acts do you prefer to perform? Sacrificing innocents or...
Countless acts.
Yeah, we're the organization of the evil fellas that go around taking people's jinjuriki, which is like the spirit monster within, to get power. So
the spirit monster.
We're the biggest antagonists.
Uh-huh. So if I... If I was on the bus and I left my spirit monster unattended for a little while,
we'd
what would...
We'd still steal it.
Oh, that's... It's cruel.
Do you know how evil we really are?
No. But it's innocent.
We drink fruit boxes and throw them out the window of the car.
Oh my god.
That's how evil we are.
You're making my spirit monster cry.
Good.
You, sir, are you some form of Jedi or something similar?
Actually, no, I'm from the book Call of Cthulhu.
He's a hobbit.
Ah, so you know all about forbidden, unspeakable couplings, things that man was not meant to know.
Yes, I do. It's quite interesting, actually. People just go spaz when they hear it for some reason.
Can you tell me something that man wasn't meant to know? I'm kind of keen to hear it.
Egyptians didn't invent beer.
So it is. You're having a good time. It is exciting. You're not disappointed?
No.
Have all your dreams been fulfilled? Some dreams been fulfilled, a couple of dreams been fulfilled. What ratio of dream fulfillment would you say that you've achieved?
A couple.
A couple is better than none. It's not bad. A couple, some more than one. That's good. Hello, and what would you be?
I'm Garo from the Hidden Sand Village.
Uh-huh.
Because with my character, it's, he can control sand.
So is it hard, you've been out drinking at the pub, is it hard to get home to the Sand Village, seeing as it is hidden? Like, you know, you're drunk, you're looking around, can't find your way back to the Sand Village. Is that a common occurrence?
Yeah, but a little bit.
Are you having a good time here today?
Yeah, really much. I'm quite enjoying it.
That's fantastic. So we'll let everyone know that if they want to have a good time too and have a couple of their dreams fulfilled, perhaps they should come down here. And any housewarmings at the Hidden Sand Village, or is it just pointless because people won't be able to get there?
They'll wait for their Kazokage to come back home.
Thank you very much. Hello, here at the Armageddon Expo with some very dangerous customers, I'm afraid. What is this particular tool here? Is it for grating cheese, dicing carrots? What's the particular use?
It's called a chakram. It's from Axel from Kingdom Hearts 2. It's basically his class of weapon. You basically throw it and it comes back to him. It's almost like a boomerang.
So you don't have any problems with home invaders or anything like that? You have a very secure home, obviously, if you've got these sort of things just hanging around.
I live in the darkness.
Ah.
Darkness doesn't have much of a home.
That's so sad. Poor darkness. No, I'm sad. Sad for the dark. Oh, is there anything we can do? I wish we could lift its spirits. And you, sir, now I do fancy myself a nerd and proud, but of course it's such a wide field. I can't know everything. Can you explain to me your particular outfit today?
I am Cloud Strife from Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. It follows on from the game, but it's a different outfit. And... the sword's more badass.
Where is the sword? Can we see the sword? Now, of course, we are trying to... You cannot see the costumes. Oh, my God.
The radio, the sword.
Now, this is... Because
I like the idea of the novelty of interviewing people in costume on radio, because then it's up to you to evoke the costume. I'm not sure I could evoke this particular piece because it looks quite lethal and bizarre and deadly.
It's blunt.
And what is this best at doing? Killing your enemies, laying waste to your foes, which in particular?
Dicing vegetables. Nah,
this is it.
Taking down the bad guys, of course.
Uh huh.
What do you do with a sword this big?
And so there seems to be a multitude of blades. 1, 2, 3.
4.
But there's 4.
And what is
it?
9. It's 9.
You're 5 blades short, dude. That's not canon. That's not canon.
It goes up to my belly button. It's supposed to be 20 centimeters taller than me. So.
Ah, yes. I have seen Final Fantasy before. They do have the scale of their arsenal is rather large.
Solid steel. If it was full size, I certainly wouldn't be able to lift it.
You know what that means, though? The guys in the actual Final Fantasy, overcompensating. You, sir, obviously don't need to. You're fine. You're doing fine.
Well, here, I'm matching.
there we go. Well, yes, you can't see the scale of that at home, but that's an impressive feat. What's the handle there for? Is it so it comes apart, or?
Yes, that is one of the multiple swords in it. There's the two ones on the side that clip out and fold out, and then there's the long one on top, and then there's the one on the bottom, which is attached to the main handle.
So it's like Inspector Gadget or Voltron or something along those lines. It's, yes. What can you tell us about yourself, madam, in your costume? Evoke it for people who cannot see.
I'm Tifa Lockhart from Final Fantasy VII. I am Cloud Strife's partner.
Ah, bit of romance between the costumes and the people, I see.
Yeah,
And we also have, what do we have here? What are you, sir? What is all of this?
This is Roxas.
Roxas, he has two weapons. There are 5 different implements of death, destruction, mayhem, and murder in front of me right now.
This is actually a cool one, because he actually hits it from the soft part.
So it's like a sword of love.
Exactly. See, there's a heart there.
Yeah, you're like Cupid, but more hands-on.
Badass Cupid.
Yes.
And is your character in a romantic relationship with any of these around here?
Yeah. I was going to say it's romantic because it wasn't revealed, but everyone says that it is.
There's implied tension between you and one of these other costumes. Some implied tension. How do you feel about this implied tension?
I really have no clue.
Would you like the implied tension to be less implied or more implied? How do you feel about it? Is it...
Less implied.
Less implied. Oh my god! I'm sorry that had to come out in such circumstances. Oh, now I feel terrible. Now I feel very bad. Are you having a good time here? Are all your dreams fulfilled? Some dreams fulfilled. A couple of dreams fulfilled, or no dreams fulfilled in general?
Most are fulfilled.
And which in particular have not been fulfilled? How have you been let down?
It can never be filled because going to every convention every year can never be filled.
So there's always more. It's always more fun, more exciting.
Always more fun making stuff. Always more fun cosplaying.
There's always never enough conventions. So, if you could design your own perfect convention, what would that be like? Is there any particular celebrity you'd love to see? Any particular mud wrestling? All mud wrestling.
Probably just the guy who either created or does like the music to all the games that we enjoy, such as Final Fantasy.
Yes. Is there anything you'd like to say to anyone at home if this ever does actually go out on air?
Why don't you come to Armageddon? Come and join us. Come dress up. It's a lot of fun.
He has a good point. Thank you very much for speaking to me, Radio Adelaide. Thank you very much. Have a good time.
Come with me, the time is right. There's no better team. On and on, we'll win the fight. It's always been our dream.
Celebration here.
Gotta catch 'em all.
Talk and support him.
I know it's my destiny.
Can you do smoke on the water?
Oh, you're my best friend. In a world we must defend.
Rate Me by Nirvana.
I gotta catch 'em all, so true.
They're not taking requests.
And courage will pull us through. You teach me and I'll teach you.
High level of energy you can see here. That's a Pokemon song.
Oh, gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon.
Are people in? Are you enjoying yourselves here today?
Yeah!
That's the level of enjoyment we're experiencing. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
This is John Rhys-Davies. I hate the role-playing hour because they tossed a dwarf.
As I am an intrepid reporter, I went to one of the many stalls and tried to buy one of those staples of fantasy video games, the gun sword.
Now I'm here looking for a basic gun sword. What do you think? What do you think of the range they have here?
Looks like you've got your beginner weapons. You've got your Bokken.
What do you have, sir, in a basic gun sword? I like a sword, I like a gun, but together I just think, you know, it's just much more powerful. Do you have a good range of gun swords here for the gun sword enthusiast? I'm from Radio Adelaide, by the way, if you'd like to speak to me.
Well, we don't really have a lot of gun swords right now.
Oh, no.
I know, it's so horrible. Though we've had a few people actually said they would prefer swords over guns, which is quite odd in this modern day.
This one looks... What is this particular item here?
This one here?
How much is if I offered the heads of three unbaptized babies, would that be good enough for that particular weapon of hellish destruction?
Oh, we don't exactly do dark magic at the moment. I'm sorry.
Not into haggling. Oh, well. But there are a fantastic selection of weapons here. Nunchuckus, if you really, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I get home, I've had a long day. The wife, she didn't make dinner. I'm feeling a bit angry. I think the nunchuckus in that particular case would be very effective.
Yeah. Though I don't really think it would actually be nice being cracked with nunchucks.
Well, don't. My wife is a ninja. Don't worry about it. She'll fight back. That's a foreplay for her.
You'll walk in the door and you'll never see her.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's been our marriage for 18 years, unfortunately. But thank you very much for speaking to me, sir. And hope maybe sometime in the future we see some gun swords. Who knows? Maybe the laws will relax. Thank you very much.
That's right. See ya.
We're standing here outside of a TARDIS. And, that's interesting because, you know, the TARDIS is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. That's a bit like the opposite of me, really, because I have a tiny, shriveled soul inside a fat, flabby, useless body. So I kind of relate.
I'm sick of people always saying Hitler was a monster. As we all know, true monsters look like lizards. In that sense, I met someone worse than Hitler at the expo.
Okay, I'm here with the monster. Can you describe yourself for me, monster? Describe yourself for the listeners at home.
I'm a Trandoshan lizenoid, humanoid type of bounty hunter from Star Wars.
Oh my god, he is quite terrifying. Yeah, some sort of lizard-like something. Tell me, what do you do on a typical weekend, Mr. Monster? Is it, what, going to a swamp, abducting virgins, that sort of thing?
I like the second part of that, but mostly hunting things, you know, killing.
For bounties of some form?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about pitchforks, flaming brands, that sort of thing?
Not a big fan. I've had a few villagers chase me down, but, you know, nothing blaster won't fix.
Is it a tough life being a monster? Do you feel alone? Do you feel rejected by society? I mean, is it really a sad story that at heart you are just a good guy and misunderstood?
Absolutely. I mean, as a small child, you know, hatchling, I sat in the corner at the schoolyard. Everybody ignored me and made fun of me, but hey, look what I've become.
Exactly. You're here at the convention. It's fantastic. Have you been tempted to eat any of the celebrities?
Absolutely. There's a couple of young ladies over there that just look delightful.
But you might want someone with more meat on their bones, though. I don't know, yeah. But I guess, yeah, you're a monster. You know what your thing is. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, man. You're a monster, you know.
Absolutely. Look, I can chew their bones up. That's what I do.
Any hatchlings of your own on the way, perhaps?
Not at the minute, but maybe down the track when I'm a bit older.
Yeah, you've got to build up the responsibility, you know, have a nice cave of your own, a nice sort of, you know, den or a lair of some kind before you can really consider raising a family. Your own treasure hoard, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for speaking to me, Mr. Bounty Hunter Monster, sir.
Thank you.
Now, Radio Adelaide bought all their equipment secondhand, cheap from ex-Russian nuclear submarines, so you probably can't hear the wrestling that is going on around me. There is some professional wrestling. I'm a little concerned, though. When did this violent streak strike the humble nerd community? What do you think, sir?
I think it's an early advance of anime and all the torture porn that we've been growing up with for years.
You blame the Japanese?
Oh, I definitely blame the Japanese.
Uh-huh. Well, we need to find some... we need to speak to the Japanese consulate, I think, have them answer these claims.
They're watching some sort of slightly homoerotic... fake wrestling.
Well, that has always been a part of the nerd community, so perhaps that's what it is. Perhaps it's just a larger, more violent, more physical and passionate expression of the aforementioned pre-existing implicit homoerotic.
So one guy's always on his knees. One guy's
it is true.
Taking a beating, so...
We should describe the wrestling we are viewing. Yes, one guy's hitting one guy in the balls, or maybe in the stomach. another guy just hit another guy, basically. There's some striking, there's some hitting.
Elbow to the face, and posturing, a lot of ass waving.
Now, I don't know if my words are up to the task, but can you describe the outfits of the people we're watching?
Hot pants.
Yes.
Right, hot pants with flames on them.
Purple, tight, hot pants in one case and flames in the other.
Yeah, they're both flamey.
That warms my heart, though, because, you know, it isn't really the violence. It's just, I mean, it is so much the homoeroticism that my worries have ceased. It's just the same old community we've always known.
Yeah, veiled homoeroticism under the guise of violence.
Yes, the comic books, Dungeons and Dragons. I often accidentally drop the dice in the lap of the guy next to me. Oh, sorry, you have to pick that up. Hello, I'm still here at the wrestling, and I am, in fact, myself. I like to think of myself more as an old-school nerd, and this new stream of violence that I'm seeing in nerd society today, it's a little troubling. Where do you think that stems from?
Sorry?
Where do you think the stream of violence that we're seeing here with the wrestling in nerds, the otherwise humble and gentle nerd society, where does that come from? Is that a new thing? Was it always there?
Oh, I honestly have no idea where wrestling is concerned. I haven't followed wrestling since I was about 14.
It probably stems from their aggression that they can take out in a relatively civilized manner.
I had a theory that, because it was something else that was actually always in nerd society. It was always an undercurrent, a theme, and that was good old-fashioned friendly homoeroticism. And I'm wondering if perhaps this is an expression of, I mean, I do see some purple hot pants. Ma'am, how do you feel about they're not there anymore. Now we've got some black hot pants with tassels. How do you feel about the black hot pants with tassels, ma'am?
I think that they love the opportunity to pull out the little pants there. Very snug fitted with tassels. It looks lovely.
Good opportunity to get out there and have a good old manly cuddle.
Exactly. And so actually, in fact, the nerd community is as gentle as it ever was. It's just more liberated and more open about its predilections, perhaps.
I think you might be right there.
Thank you for speaking to Radio Adelaide. Thank you very much.
No worries.
No worries.
I'm talking about, we are watching it. We are seeing people performing it. So we have a man here, I think, has a theory on violence in society in general and possibly in nerd society. What is your theory, sir?
Well, it's not a theory. You look at basic statistics for murder rates, assault rates. Even though the reporting of these rates are actually rising, the actual numbers show that it's going down. And when the population is increasing, you would expect them to be rising, even if they stayed at the same level. But it's been going down.
Do you blame the purple hot pants for the decrease in violence? Or the increase in reportage, perhaps? Because violence is more sexy now.
I blame the purple hot pants as for the decrease of violence. The more you actually show violence, the less people actually go for it. People are more fearful of violence, even though it's more perpetrated in the media and everything. We hear more when a kid shoots up a school, or when someone gets beaten, or when someone doesn't look.
And the more you show purple hot pants, the more love people have in their hearts in general toward their fellow man.
Absolutely. Who doesn't love purple hot pants? I mean, whatever violence might be perpetrated against purple hot pants, there's more people that are for them and rally around purple hot pants.
Would you like to perpetrate any violence on any person here today?
If one more person mistakes Deadpool as Spider-Man, then I will perpetrate some violence on them.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm hoping next year maybe there's some mud wrestling. I think we should show that violence is all-inclusive and not just limited to...
Mud wrestling, definitely. Then you have the added, lubrication. And with enough lubrication, you can achieve anything.
Yes, you can never have enough lubrication. I think we're in agreement here. More wise words from Armageddon. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
You know, friends often say to me, DM, if you just played some more popular music, you'd have so many more listeners. So... here's some Benny Goodman.
This is Lance Henriksen, and I hate the role-playing hour because, they're chewing off my face.
If you've just joined us, I attended the Armageddon Sci-Fi and Fantasy Expo last weekend and spoke with many attendees.
Sir, I'm a humble old-school nerd, and I'm a bit troubled by the streak of and celebration of violence that I'm now seeing in nerd society. How do you feel about that?
It's pretty awesome. Wrestling.
It is very entertaining. Do you think you could, if you were in the ring, do you think you could, how long would you last? How long would you be in this ring?
Against those guys, not long.
Yes, it's probably not good at this kind of convention to have such well-bound, muscled men, because, I mean, I don't know about you personally said, but myself, I'm not, you know, I don't go to... I have a theory, though, that because I thought this was a new stream of violence in Nerd Society, but now I'm not so sure. I think it might be a pre-existing trend in Nerd Society, which I always loved and celebrated, which was the vague, implied, friendly homoeroticism of Nerd Society. Do you think it's perhaps an expression of that?
Yeah.
In that case, then we should celebrate it, I think. I think that... Let's celebrate it right now. No, you don't want to sell. No.
No.
No. Oh, thank you for your time, sir.
No worries.
Feel free to contact the police. And in fact, me and my a fellow reporter here would like to express our own love for that particular strand of nerd relations. Oh, don't touch me there. I'm sensitive.
Oh, please. Come on, you said you would.
You know, I'm kind of glad we're not the only sweaty men here. All these wrestlers.
Well, it's like sitting next to a really fat chick in a bar.
Normally, when in what way?
It makes you look better.
I mean, they're much more muscly and sweaty than me, but, you know, you do know that I tend to have a certain odor problem and a problem with my pores. I just want to confirm for people at home, because I have been speaking on the record and off the record to several self-confessed members of the nerd community so far while the wrestling has been taking place. I have not yet had one single denial to my theory that homoeroticism was always present in the nerd community and continues to be so and is expressed through wrestling. I just want to make that clear. Not one single denial so far. Hello, and there is more wrestling happening. Sir, how do you feel about the wrestling?
Yeah, no, it's not too bad. Pretty amazing stuff going on up in here, so yeah.
Do you think that's a good combination? I mean, sci-fi, fantasy, Gimli and wrestling, they're natural bedfellows, they naturally go together?
Yeah, I guess so, man. I guess there's a bit of everything here. Everyone's excited, aren't they?
Is it a celebration of violence in our culture, do you think? Where is this coming from? I don't understand.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, most of these nerds would actually cop this in high school, so I don't know what's going on.
So it could be good lessons for self-defense.
Yeah, that's it. They can put up with this at school now and try to, like, retaliate.
And so if you are a nerd and or a geek and you're struggling at school, perhaps if you want people to stop teasing you, turn up in a purple leotard.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, smash them back, do some suplexes, whatever you can.
Excellent. And do you have any tips for any nerds wanting to build up their biceps, triceps, deltoids, etc.?
I don't know, some push-ups. I saw a pretty mean nipple cripple just before, so that might work.
Yes, nipple cripple, and then you get very good biceps. And sir, how do you feel?
I'm pretty good.
enjoying the wrestling?
Yeah. It's different.
Has it given you an urge to take up wrestling, perhaps in the future?
Not for fear of nipple cripple, no.
Oh, well, you could practice. You know, you could work up to wrestling guys like that. You could start on the dog, the cat, build up small children, and then build up to larger opponents.
Yeah, I'll have to start off with very small children first.
I think that's some advice we can all take to heart. Just put on a purple leotard, go to your nearest public park, and just start groping and grappling small children.
Beat up small children, that's the go.
Yeah, that's probably a good path to general social acceptance and health in society in general. Ma'am, how do you feel about the wrestling?
Yeah, it's good.
What in particular do you like best, if you could pinpoint the exact feature of the wrestling you enjoy the most?
I think I just like that dude's tattoos.
They are some pretty nice... Oh, it's very violent now. It's a pretty nice tattoo. It's not too violent for you. It's not making your heart feel all a flutter. You're not swooning because of the potential for a bloodshed you're seeing here today.
No, it's a bit fake for me.
Oh, you'd like it to be more real. You'd like weapons? Would you like them to have some form of weapon, perhaps?
Most definitely, yeah. That would be great.
What would be the best weapon? A sword, a chainsaw, a lawnmower?
I'd probably ride on lawnmower.
Oh, yeah. That would be rather brutal. Whoa. Yes. Well, we're seeing some action today. Do you have any friends of... have you ever been to a party? Do you have any friends of your own who like to, you know, sometimes late at night after a few beers it turns into this? Or the man in the backyard rolling around like this?
No, not really. I know Dave does. He probably has a few that do that.
I think you're going to the wrong parties, ma'am.
Probably.
Hello, and how do you feel about the wrestling here today?
Looks kind of fake.
It's freaking amazing.
Pretty insane. They should be dead by now.
Oh my, yes. They've been taking a lot of punishment. You know, I often hear that Australia has no culture, but watching this, I'm inclined to disagree. Don't you think this is pretty good?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, we don't need art or literature or anything like that when we got... You know, I actually have that exact same pair of black leather hot pants with tassels. It's true.
Me too.
Really? Don't you find yours chafe? They're not very comfortable, are they? Those guys are real troopers.
I put butter in mine.
Butter? That's what you... And that overcomes the chafing. And what about the sweat around the, you know, right around the inside thigh? How do you deal with that?
I don't.
I get my tassels caught in doors and things. Oh, it's terrible. Do you happen to own any black leather hot pants and tassels yourself?
Yes, I do. Several pairs.
They're popular. There must have been a sale. Is that what happened?
Yeah, definitely.
Damn. And you, sir, how many pairs of black leather hot pants and tassels?
I don't have any. I have the full bodysuit.
Ah, yeah, like a leotard kind of thing.
Mask and the full underwear over the top and the boots. That's me.
I heard an interesting theory earlier today that it is good for young sci-fi and fantasy fans to watch wrestling because sometimes they can be ostracized in school. This could teach them an important lesson, how to handle their enemies. All they need to do to not be teased is to put on a leather hot pants and tassels or a purple leotard, turn up at school and start groping their enemies, and then they won't be teased. Do you think that's a good idea?
I already do it.
Oh, right. And it worked for you?
No.
We'll iron out the kinks of that. For the starting wrestler, how do you think the starting wrestler should begin? How should they build up their strength? What early opponents should they face?
I reckon they should just start small, and then they should be, you know, just start off with school bullies and then just start beating the crap out of people who are like bodybuilders.
What about even smaller, like a goat or something?
Oh my god, chickens. Chickens.
Wrestling chickens is a good way to start. And then afterwards you can have like a nice little fry up, bit of drumstick once you defeat your opponent.
It's perfect. That's how KFC do it. That's what I've heard.
It's all just wrestlers in the back. You don't see the back of the store. That's what's going on.
Yeah, crushing chickens. That's what happens.
Body slam into the deep fryer. Take that!
Yep.
What would you tell people? What opponent should they start on? You want to start small, not go right to a big sweaty man?
I reckon they should just start off with like just throwing themselves easily against a wall repeatedly over and over again. And that'll, you know, teach them how to take a punch a bit. And then...
I think that's a fantastic lesson. And... I mean, if it hurts the first time, don't worry. Get up. Try again.
Because, yeah, you know, eventually you ruin your nerve system and then you won't feel it eventually and then you're pretty much invincible.
That is a fantastic... Like a leper. Like a leper who cannot feel pain or something. That is a fantastic tip.
Now, as you know, I am a tabletop role-playing enthusiast. I love the GURPS. I love the D&D. I love all that stuff. Holding a die in my hand with a strange number of sides and giving it a good shake, there's nothing better. The card game Magic the Gathering, I didn't know. I'd heard of it, but I wasn't familiar. I didn't know how to play. My alley has had many things up it, but Magic was not one of them. So I thought, hey, there's a table here with official Wizards of the Coast guys teaching people how to play Magic. Why don't I go up and learn? Okay, so here I am. I am about to learn how to play the Magic card game with Mr...
Will Chan.
Will Chan, the official Magic teacher here at the convention. Now, I got my free deck of cards when I came in. It was fantastic. And as I understand it, that's good, because with that deck of cards, I can play Magic for the rest of my life. I've got a complete set. I never have to get any more cards or anything like that. It's finished. That's right?
Well, you can play a full game of Magic with these cards we're supplying to you guys, every few months we actually launch a brand new set. So if you want some new spells to sling, some new cards, new creatures to summon, then you can always pop into a store and grab some new packs.
So it's ever growing. It's always growing larger, much like my loathing for the human race in some ways. So how do we get started here? I can see a lot of exciting pictures, a lot of cards. What's first?
Okay, I'll start off with the basics of Magic. Magic is essentially a duel between two wizards, or planeswalkers, that's what we call them. This is what you play as. So the game of Magic is actually about casting spells and summoning creatures and blasting your opponent away. Now, in Magic, there are five different colors. We've got the white color, which actually represents order, law, justice. And then you've got blue mana, which is all about illusion and deceit. You've got red, which is about fire and destruction. Green's all about life and big creatures. And then you've got black, which is about evil and death magic. So, which color appeals to you the most?
That just sounds exciting. It's like a rainbow of colors. It's like when you get the ice cream with all the flavors. It's like with the whole rainbow, it's like it's an icon for the gay community, in a way. Every rainbow of color. So Magic is all embracing. I can see some very exciting cards in front of me. I have a planes, and I have another planes. So That's two planes. I bet those cards are what they're worth. That's probably worth $20,000 right now if I tried to sell it on the market, right? A planes?
More about 2.5 cents, I think.
Oh, I must have got some bad information from somewhere. But I have two planes, so that's five potential cents. I'll make sure I mylar wrap those. So what happens next? I got my planes, I got my cards here.
Okay, now the game of Magic starts off with each player being on 20 life points. Obviously, the first one to get knocked down to zero is KO'd. Now, each turn, you'll be playing more and more resources. You'll be powering out lands, which are like your batteries for casting spells. When you have enough mana to cast your spell, say if you've got one plane, you can cast this infantry veteran here. It's only a little tiny little guy. It's only 1/1. But when you get up to like 5 mana, you get this big angel, a Shepherd of the Lost, which is a 3/3 creature with flying and all these other special abilities. Obviously, the more mana you power into your creatures, the bigger they are, the better they are, and the faster they will defeat your opponent.
So you want more and more land, more Lebensraum, so to speak. Would you agree with that? The Magic is about gathering Lebensraum. That's a comment you would agree with?
Sure.
Living space for the peoples, yes. I see four planes, so in theory I could, if I had four planes and I was able to summon that energy, I could get my two monsters out there on the table. And we wouldn't want to do that because that awesome move from me, that unexpected move from me, would probably make my poor magic teacher cry because he wouldn't expect it, and there's two things being right there. So what happens next? So we've got the planes, we've got the Cloud Crusaders. What would he do next?
Now, hopefully your opponent will also have a board as well, so they'll be summoning their own creatures out, and you'll be like sending your creatures to fight their creatures, and hopefully your creatures will be able to overwhelm theirs and then bash them into oblivion. And once you've done that, it's game over for you, and you move on to the next opponent in an ever-rising challenge.
And what's the best way to cheat, really? Like, when his back is turned, you steal his cards, or you set them on fire, or how do you personally prefer to cheat?
Well, cheating's pretty tough in this game. Magic actually has an entire judge community. These guys are like the police force of Magic. They go around making sure that in official tournaments, people do not cheat, so you can try. But
is it like a casino? They'll take you out the back, rough you up a bit, and you know... Like, I tried that once, and it was ugly. That's how I got my wooden leg.
Well, it'd be mighty impressive how judge community could do that, but alas, no. You get a stern warning, and perhaps an eviction from the venue.
That's the official. That's the official stance, because of course they can't say it. But I have heard some horror stories. One-fingered Pete told me how he lost all the rest of his digits, and it was gruesome. So you're trying to destroy me. I'm trying to destroy you. What happens next? What's the next step of destruction?
Okay, so once you get the hang of this game and you become a better player, you can enter sanctioned tournaments. Now, these tournaments allow you to play against people and you're fully ranked, and you can actually compare yourself to anyone across the other side of the world and see if you're better than them, about equal, or maybe you need a bit more help to get to their level.
Wow, so who is the top Magic player in the world right now? Where are you on the scale, sir?
Myself? Well, it's rather embarrassing, so I'm not going to say. I'm more like, a little apprentice wizard, if anything.
So the only way is up. You're going to go up and rise high. Who is the world's greatest Magic player right now, or is it always changing?
It's ever changing, actually. We've actually had a recent Player of the Year race, an American's actually taken that out at the moment. So he's holding our top spot, but last year it was a Japanese player, and the year before that we had an Austrian or a Czechoslovakian player, so it varies a lot.
All over the world. How many languages has this game been translated into?
In 12 different languages around the world, and we're going for our 13th next year.
I'm looking forward to Mongolian magic, Hungarian magic, things like that. So, all right, what's next? I got my planes, you got your stuff. What happens next?
Next, I'd better get my deck together, and we'll shuffle up, and I'll bash you in oblivion.
Oh, no. I didn't cheat yet. Oh, he means in the game, not that they're not going to drag me out the back yet. Ooh, see what's happening. All right, he is shuffling the cards. Uh-oh, he's getting another deck.
It looks like you are going to be controlling the white sky. So you'll have an Air Force, angels and whatnot. And me, I'll be controlling the death cult, all about zombies and evilness. So the first thing you do in Magic is, after you've given your deck a quick shuffle, you'll draw 7 cards.
So I've got it. All right, I'm drawing my cards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, I've got my 7 cards. No, that joke doesn't work on radio. I was trying to hide a card, but it's not a visual gag. We can't do that. Okay, I can see a bunch of cards here. I'm a little afraid. Corrupt. I can see there's a reassembling skeleton. Disfigure. Oh my god. Mind rot. Oh my god. It's looking like it's looking bad.
Okay, so now that you've got your hand, you should hopefully, if in your grip, you'll have a few basic lands to start powering up some spells, and you'll have a bunch of creatures and other spells to do. So I'll let you go first, I think.
All right. So I have some planes and another planes.
One land per turn.
One land down. Okay, so boom, boom. I got a plane down.
Now, if you're able to cast a creature or a spell, you may do so. With one planes, you look in the top right-hand corner of each card to see how many mana you need to cast a spell with. An infantry veteran you have in your hand costs only one white mana. So you can tap your land to draw the power out and then summon your infantry veteran.
Oh, I'd tap that. I bet you never heard that joke before, huh?
That was the first time. Absolutely.
That was pretty good, I thought, yeah.
You're an absolute genius.
Okay, so yes, I've got my infantry veteran there. I've summoned that power. And now you would kill me how?
Well, actually, before you do that, the infantry veteran, when you summon him, you've actually pulled him from another world, another universe. So he's a little dizzy on the first round. So as soon as you summon him, you cannot attack with him in this round. Okay, since he's just sitting there, he's going to take a rest, you'll pass the turn back to me. I'll then draw a card. I'm going to play my swamp, which is where I draw my evil black mana from. Unfortunately for you, I have a card called Disfigure. I'm going to disfigure your infantry veteran.
You can't make me any worse, my friend. You can't make me any worse. I've been sitting in the dark playing Dungeons & Dragons for 20 years. There's nothing, no more you can do.
And the disfigure is enough to nail that infantry veteran. So, this is the one...
Oh, I tried to tap my infantry veteran and then he nailed him with this card. It's terrible. Family game. It's a family game.
Which goes straight to your graveyard.
Ah, some death. So, this reminds me of that Bergman movie, you know? There's he's coming back from the Crusades, and there's a dark figure, and they're playing that game, and will he go to the graveyard, won't he go to the... No, never mind. Seventh Seal, never seen the Seventh... Oh, okay, so what's next?
Yeah, and so that's the example of just the first turn of Magic. So then each turn you'll draw another card, you'll play another land, and you'll progressively cast bigger and bigger creatures until at some point somebody's just going to have the biggest, best creature, and it's going to bash on into oblivion.
Okay, and then when you win, obviously there's a Ferrari or a beautiful woman. I mean, what is the prize for winning? What do you get?
Bragging rights for glory.
And who's the best person to brag to, really? I should brag to where should I brag?
Oh, to your mates, or best yet, because we rank all of our matches, your stats are right up on the internet for everyone to see.
Oh no, so it'd be so embarrassing. I'd be even more exposed on the internet than I already am. Oh, damn you school bullies coming into the changing room that day with your iPhone. I'm just having a look at some of these cards. Oh, my God. Core Hookmaster. That's quite fierce. That, you know, amazingly, that's actually the name of a... No, you don't need to know that story. Prostitute in Thailand. Ladyboy. Core Hookmaster. Looks exactly the same. And we got a nether horror. Now, I after every time I go drinking and eat a little Indian food the next day, nether horror... Right there. Doomblade, Death Cultist, Nightwing Shade. It's upbeat. Diabolic Tutor. Ah, now there's some symbolism, I think. Is it? Do you relate to that card at all?
Absolutely.
Of course, because with this game, we can actually genuinely summon the devil. That's right, isn't it? I can announce that to all the church groups that playing these games is actually, it's gambling and it's summoning the devil. It's okay to say that, right?
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on. I just want to... Just a small demon. I just want to, you know... I've got a few enemies I'd like to lay waste to. There must be a little correlation between obviously playing a game on a table at a convention and dark evil rites that, you know, forsake God, surely.
Oh, you might get some paper cuts, and yeah, they're pretty evil, I got to admit.
Oh, damn it. I forsook God this morning for nothing. Well, thank you very much for teaching me the intricacies of magic, and people at home can learn some magic too if they like. And have you been enjoying the expo?
Absolutely. It's been fantastic. We've actually been at capacity for the majority of the expo, so a lot of people in Adelaide are keen to find out what magic's all about.
I've been trying to get to this table for yesterday and today, and it's been pretty busy, I have to say. So thank you very much, Diabolic Tutor, sir.
No problems. If you want to know more, check out www.magicthegathering.com.
There you have it. Sir, have you entered the competition, the cosplay competition?
Yes, I have.
And this is radio, so can you please describe your costume for us, for the listener at home?
Well, I'm wearing a hockey mask, and I'm going as a video game character from the Splatterhouse series, but everyone keeps calling me Jason Voorhees.
I have to admit, I thought Jason or possibly Eminem or perhaps, you know, Wayne Gretzky or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, if you have entered, if you lose, what will you do to the winner? Will you cut them into...
I will slaughter everyone else in the contest.
There we have it. We have it official. And that, I think that will make for some great entertainment later in the... Because, you know, end of the con, it can get a bit boring, but we'll have you slaughtering...
Pretty much everyone there.
Do you have a preferred method of execution?
Decapitation punch.
Whoa! A punch and a decapitation simultaneously.
Yeah, it takes a lot of skill. It gets easier once you've done it to a lot of demons.
And what's the exercise regime like to build up the biceps for that particular thing? Do you have to use one of those handshaking devices that they advertise on early morning TV, or what is the exercise regimen?
Not at all, really. Actually, I just put on the terror mask and I become a superhuman killing machine. It's really easy, actually.
Well, that's a bit like me, you know. Most of the time, I'm a fat bastard, and then I just put on my corset, and it's like I'm a beautiful, lithe young man again. I, too, get my superpowers from an extra piece of clothing.
It's amazing what you can find at the flea market, magic items and all that shit.
Yeah. Oh, very good. So, do you think any of these other people have a chance, or they're all dead in the water?
I think Naruto over there might, but I'm planning on killing him before he gets there.
Good plan, because, you know, you don't want to... Yeah, you want
to... My main competition is ninjas in this case.
You want to be proactive, I think, and get them before the...
Yeah.
Well, best of luck, sir, and thank you for speaking to us, and are you having a good time at the convention?
I'm having a great time, yeah.
That's fantastic to hear. Thank you very much. I'm here talking to Dr. Greg, and just a completely side issue to our standard con conversations came up. Can you repeat that, Dr. Greg?
Yeah, so currently Australia doesn't support gay marriage at all, but this doesn't seem to apply if you're a post-op transsexual. So if you've legally changed your gender from one to another, you can get married because it's still under the eyes of the law, like husband and wife, like man and woman.
Armageddon Expo, come down here and have a great time! Ah!
I met one of my favorite childhood movie stars at Armageddon, none other than R2-D2. He was very untoward, however, and unfortunately, it shattered all my childhood hopes and dreams, and now I can never watch Star Wars again.
I'm here speaking to Mr. R2-D2. Hello, Mr. R2-D2. Hello? How are you enjoying the convention? Really, there's no need to swear, sir. What did you say about my mother? Oh, well, we can't hear that on the radio, I'm sorry. I'm gonna go and cry now. I am actually here with Doctor who seems to have traveled through time and space to be at the convention today. Hello, Mr. Doctor, how are you today?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. It's good to be here.
I see your TARDIS is parked over there in the corner. Is it secure? I hope no one can...
It's nice and secure, but I've actually lost the key myself, so I can't get in.
Oh, damn it.
You have a problem, but I'm sure I'll work it out.
You have many heinous enemies across time and space, and they do tend to chase you down and destroy everyone near you, no matter where you go. Any danger that we'll be seeing any of those horrible enemies here today?
Well, there was one around yesterday. There was a Cyberman, but I haven't seen any others around, so I think we should be safe today.
And what do you think, personally, is your sexiest enemy? Is it the Daleks? Is it the Cybermen? Is it the Martians?
Oh, the Master.
The master.
Can't forget the Master.
And he can be in any guise. He could be any one of these guys. Where?
Right. Well, usually he's got a goatee, so he's pretty... Yeah, you can tell that way.
And you have your sonic screwdriver there.
Of course.
Found many uses for it today?
Not that many. There's not that many gadgets I can take over here.
What's the most unusual thing you have used it for in the past?
Oh, that's a hard one. I wouldn't actually be able to tell you, because then... Yeah. Wouldn't understand.
My civilization is not yet ready for that level of knowledge.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Are you entered into the competition? There's a costume competition.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I just rocked up on the day.
Oh, damn. You could have stolen the show with that, my friend.
Well, see, the TARDIS is... You can't control that. It has its own little things it wants to do, so I was sort of forced to come here today. So.
Oh, yes. She's a difficult taskmaster. Well, thank you for speaking to Radio Adelaide today, sir, and I hope you enjoy the Armageddon Expo.
I will, thank you.
Now, I met some more cosplayers. I guess they liked the Japanese this and the Korean that, but frankly, I didn't even understand what they were talking about. I wish there was a joke in this next clip, but sorry there isn't. I was too confused. It was all nonsensical. I just don't understand.
Madam, can you tell me what your costume is? Can you evoke it for us?
It's Asuka Langley saw you, or Shikanami, because they changed her name in the movies because they sucked. First outfit from the Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's a yellow dress and a sun hat and red hair.
Okay, and what happens in the Neon Genesis? What's the plot there? Is it a boy and his donkey?
A teenage boy with daddy issues fights angels from outer space with his mother's reincarnated form. And a hyperactive tsundere redhead, and religious, and people's minds get raped, and robots and stuff.
So it's fairly straightforward then, it's just, yeah.
Yes, everyone understands it.
Movie ideas, TV series ideas, etc., they're just too simple nowadays, they don't put enough effort in, I think. And madam, what about you? Is this Zelda or some form of elf? Pixie?
I'm Link from Zelda.
And so, Link, you're obviously trained in combat then. You could take, you're like special forces of the elven world. You could take anyone down.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm the hero of fire also.
And are you enjoying yourself here so far? Have you been speaking to any of the celebrities, anything like that, getting autographs?
I don't really know the celebrities, but it's fun meeting people. So.
Ah, right. So
it's in like the free glomp room with multiple people. So
what is a glomp? Can you define glomp for those of us who don't know?
It's a cross between a hug and a flying tackle.
Ah, so it's like football or what is it?
In a way, if you want to talk about tackle glomps in particular, talk to them. They're great at it.
You guys should get up on the wrestling stage. That could be exciting then.
We would more than happily do that if it's okay with the people here.
And just so you know at home, this woman I'm speaking to, she has skinned a cat. She's scalped it. She's torn the flesh and fur from its head, and she has attached it onto her own. It's like Lord of the Flies. Oh, now she's got another form of... She's killed Hello Kitty. It's about time, really, isn't it, that someone finished that off? You've killed it. It's dead. It's gone. Ah, she's got the zombie survival girl. So, what is a Hello Kitty? I mean, I know there is... I've seen it.
Adorable. Fluffy and adorable. Nothing more need be said.
It has no plot. There's no story to it.
But yes, she does have a story. She lives in England, and she's 8 years old, and she has a cousin named Holly or something.
Nobody cares, though. Most people just care that she's adorable and fluffy.
So it's all about adorability. And have you had all your dreams fulfilled, or just some of them so far at this convention?
Oh, My dream was totally of being glomped by Jiraiya from behind.
So some dreams fulfilled.
Yes.
Yes.
The biggest dream would be to go on the stage and just have a tackle glomping contest. I think that'd just be ideal.
So as you can see, they're a violent bunch, skinning cats, tackling people, and. Yes. Thank you very much for speaking to Radio Adelaide, and goodbye.
Happy to see you.
What the hell were those people saying? Folks, it was like strolling through the head injury unit at the Royal Adelaide. Fortunately, some people were much more sane.
Oh my god, I'm here with the clown prince of crime himself, the Joker. Hello, Mr. Joker.
Hello, young one. How are you today?
Oh my god. Now, I just want to tell you something quickly, but it's a secret, so you got to listen carefully. Batman is really Bruce Wayne.
Get out of here.
It's true. A couple of times you saw two of them together, but one of them was actually Alfred in disguise. That's what it was.
That crazy butler.
Are you planning on killing anyone here today?
No, I've smiled for a lot of pictures, you know, leave them laughing, as I always say, but no killing.
Have you spoken to any celebrities, anything like that, planning on killing? No, not killing celebrities, torturing celebrities, perhaps?
I had a brief chat with the lady from Indiana Jones, Karen Allen. She loves the Joker.
Ah, I see. So he's popular with ladies, the Joker.
You betcha.
Oh, yes. And can you tell me a joke?
What did the shepherd say to his sheep?
What do you say?
Get the flock out of here!
Oh my god. Yes. Killing him with laughter. Anything else you'd like to say? You've been enjoying yourself? Anything you'd like to say to people about the expo? Anything like that?
We've had a marvelous time here. The Joker is guaranteed to put the fun in Funtastic. and hopefully they're going to be back here next year for me to create all sorts of anarchy all over again.
Thank you. I'd just like to say, great work, sir. Great work when you brutally murdered Robin and his mother in that warehouse. Fantastic work. Just that brutal bashing with the crowbar for 3 pages. That was really good.
They had it coming.
Yes, they did, really. So I just want to thank you for that again. I'd hug you if I could, Mr. Joker.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was great fun down there at the Armageddon Expo. Here's hoping it comes back this way sometime again soon. You might meet the guy who used to run your comic shop and the guys who currently run your comic shop too. If you like stalls, and if you like stands, and if you like kiosks, and I know you're partial to kiosks, then you have to go to Armageddon next year. Until next week, this is the DM, signing off from the role-playing hour.
I'm here with a stormtrooper from the sci-fi classic. Now, tell me, sir, who is your favorite captain? Is it Kirk or Picard?
Picard?
All right, and when you're on the Starship Enterprise, beaming down, is that difficult? Is that uncomfortable?
I think you got the wrong movie.
Oh really? What am I thinking of?
Star Trek.
And you are?
Star Wars.
Oh, what is that like? Is that like some historical movie about Reagan's missile defense program? What is that?
Darth Vader, the Emperor, Luke Skywalker.
All right, so there we have it. We're down at the convention, and there's some hardworking guys making historical movies to educate the masses. Thank you very much, Mr. Stormtrooper, sir.
Thank you.